Hi everybody, it's Laura. Today we're going to be doing our podcast on andexanet alfa, which is a drug that was given to a patient in our unit this week. And we have the one and only Dr. Stumacher, who's going to tell us a little bit about it.
Thank you, Laura Burke. I really appreciate your kind and warm introduction. So andexanet, trade name is Andexa, is a reversal agent for Eliquis and Xarelto, or apixaban and rivaroxaban. DOACs in general are how they work is they inhibit factor 10A so that your blood can stay thin and you don't clot. When you have an indication or use for this medication, this will bind those anti-factor 10As, stop them from working so that you don't continue to bleed. The problem with this medication is that it's very expensive. It has a very short half-life. It has very narrow indications, and it actually has a significant side effect profile that you all have to know about. So the reason we'll mostly see it is if anybody comes to our hospital with any kind of intracranial hemorrhage, either due to a trauma or a hemorrhagic stroke on a apixaban or rivaroxaban or Xarelto and Eliquis, that's probably when we would be using it. And if it was a significant bleed, I should say. If it's a tiny little bleed, we probably wouldn't be using it. The other indications would be life or limb threatening. So anyone who has an intraocular hemorrhage, you might lose their vision. Anyone who has a hemipericardium, anyone who has a muscle closed space bleed and is at risk of compartment syndrome, pulmonary hemorrhage, or spine bleeding that you're worried that someone might get paralyzed. It doesn't mean you have to. It has to really be limb or life-threatening. And I want to be clear, Andexa is not FDA-approved and not indicated for any GI bleeding or any gynecological bleeding, even if they're coming close to and might die anyway. You should be using Kcentra in those indications. So we will not see Andexa used that frequently. Part of the problem with Andexa is that it works really fast, and then when it's done working, that's it. So the way you dose it is you get a bolus. The bolus lasts either 13 minutes or 18 minutes, depending on if you're using the low dose or the high dose. And then it's followed by a drip that lasts for 2 hours. Within the first couple of minutes that you start the bolus, the factor 10A levels drop down, the anti-factor 10A levels drop down to almost zero. And then they stay at close to zero for the entire 2 hours of drips. During that time, you should be getting your neurosurgical intervention and then be getting out of the OR. So the problem with this medication is that it needs to be timed with when the surgery starts, which is very, very hard to do. Once the drip is done running after 2 hours, over the course of the next 2 to 3 hours, the anti-factor 10A levels slide right back up to where they were as if you had never given the medication. So I explained to everybody, it's like throwing a bar mitzvah. It costs $50,000, and 4 hours later, it's as if you never had it in the first place, which is true. So the problem with the medication is that 16-17% of patients in the studies of safety and efficacy had side effects or had adverse events when using this medication. And of those, almost a sixth or another 16-17% had VTEs, either blood clots in their legs or blood clots in their lungs. So the reason why I want you all to know about this is that if someone comes up to us post-op and they're all of a sudden becoming hypoxic or other problems, then one of the things we want to think about is them having blood clots or having an MI. So you can become thrombogenic afterwards. So that's one issue. Another issue is that once you've given the andexanet, you never give it a second time. So let's say we had a patient go from the ED to the OR on andexa, came out of the OR to our ICU, was doing well, and then 8 hours later had a significant change in their neuro status, and we sent them down for a CT scan, and the CT scan shows all new fresh blood or stuff that we're not expecting. We then give Kcentra. We don't give Andexa a second time.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Who decides if it's Andexa or the Kcentra, and what is the overall?
So through the emergency room, it's the ED, the neurosurgeon, and the intensivist. On the floor, it would be the neurosurgeon and the intensivist. The problem is the timing of the medication. The studies show that the way to give the medication is that you give the bolus, and as soon as you start the drip is when you should be making your first incision. And so if it's going to take an hour and a half to get somebody from the ED, let's say it's 2 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, no one's getting from the ED to the OR in 30 minutes, right? So if you're not supposed to time the medication until they go to the OR, and it's going to take an hour and a half to get them into the OR, do you give the medication so that by the time you start the surgery, it's actually not working anymore?
Yeah.
Or do you give Kcentra? And the answer is that we're still trying to figure that out. My feeling is we give the Kcentra, because Kcentra has been around for 15, 20 years, and that's what we've been doing since before Endexa was invented, and it works. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we just gave the Endexa, we would just be giving the Endexa, and then as soon as the surgery starts, we'd be giving the Kcentra. Kcentra, by the way, is not inexpensive. It costs about $15,000 instead of 50. So Endexa costs $50,000 to $60,000. Kcentra costs about $15,000. So... it's not about the money, it's about doing the right thing for the patient, but timing matters.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Schumacher.
Thank you, everyone.